Welcome to the Search Stories UK FAQ podcast on SAN switching. I'm Anthony Adshead, Bureau Chief for Search Stories UK. Today's speaker is Steve Pinder, Principal Consultant at Glasshouse Technologies UK. There are four questions in today's podcast. The first question is, what is involved in configuring a SAN switch and why is it important?
This question depends whether you're starting a new SAN fabric or adding a switch to an existing SAN fabric. If you're starting a new SAN fabric, the configuration of the switch is much easier. All switches have a default setup and IP address. You'll need to connect to the IP address using a browser or a command line and carry out some initial changes on the switch so that it's configured correctly for the environment. For new switches, the only changes you must make are to configure the IP address, subnet mask and default gateway to allow you to connect to it via a browser or whatever transport you choose. All of the settings will work for a new fabric. The first switch in a fabric is called the principal switch, and this switch holds the master database of fabric configuration. When other switches are added to the fabric, they download the fabric configuration from the principal switch. All switches also have a domain ID, which can be statically configured or allocated from the principal switch. I tend to configure switches with static domain IDs, so I can guarantee that a particular domain ID will never be allocated to two different switches. If two switches have been allocated the same domain ID, this could cause a fabric segmentation and can cause outages on the fabric and lack of denial of service to LUNS. For best practice purposes, you should also ensure that unused switch ports are disabled. This will prevent any unauthorized devices logging into the fabric and causing disruption to traffic. This should be done following initial port testing on a switch you're about to add to the fabric, but before it's added to the fabric.
Thanks, Steve. That's excellent. The next question is, how do I decide what topology to implement?
Before starting on SAN topology, it's important to say that when redundancy is required, a known best practice to implement two identical SAN fabrics and have devices connected to both of them. This ensures that if a host is connected to both fabrics, it will still be able to operate effectively if there's an HPA, switch, or even an entire fabric failure. In these answers, I'm going to assume that if redundancy is required, then two identical SAN fabrics will be implemented. Okay, so there's a number of topologies that can be used when configuring a fabric, or there are three that I would recommend, although they are dependent on the size and number of switches. A single switch fabric, as the name suggests, has one switch in the fabric. Direct-to-class switches can be purchased with hundreds of ports, although they're expensive compared to low-capacity switches such as those with 32 ports. A single switch SAN ensures the lowest possible latency between a host and its allocated storage, as all devices are connected to the single switch. As most SANs grow over time, it's more likely, however, that an organization will start with a small SAN, possibly a single switch SAN, and then add switches to it as the number of devices grows. As you add devices, this brings us to our second type of SAN, which is a mesh fabric. This type of fabric is one where every switch in the fabric is connected to every other switch in the fabric. The connections are via ISLs or inter-switch links. In this configuration, a host will have to traverse a maximum of one ISL to get access to the storage that it uses. When using a mesh configuration, it's favourable to group hosts and their storage on the same switch so that a host will not have to traverse an ISL to get to its storage. As a mesh grows, the number of ISLs on a single switch grows at the rate of one for every additional switch. After a certain point, there's little benefit adding extra switches as many of the additional ports are required for ISLs. When you get to a large number of ports, this is where the third type of fabric comes in, which is core edge. This configuration utilizes a large switch at the core of the fabric to which you would generally attach storage. Hosts are attached to smaller edge switches, which are also attached to the core via ISLs. This topology can grow to hundreds or even thousands of ports while ensuring that hosts only have to traverse a maximum of two switches to access the storage. Hosts that require lower latency or very high throughput can be connected directly to the core.
Thanks, Steve. The next question is, What is zoning and masking, and why is it important?
Zoning is a procedure that takes place on the sand fabric and ensures that devices can only communicate with those that they need to. Masking takes place on storage arrays and allows particular worldwide names to communicate with LUNs on that array. If the correct masking is applied to a storage array, then there is no absolute necessity to configure zoning on the SAN, although using both zoning and masking is always to be recommended. With regards to zoning, there's two distinct methods of zoning that can be applied to a SAN: worldwide name zoning and port zoning. Both have their advantages and disadvantages as follows. Worldwide name zoning groups a number of worldwide names in a zone and allows them to communicate with each other. The switch port that each device is connected to is irrelevant when worldwide name zoning is configured. One advantage of this type of zoning is that if a port is suspected to be faulty, a device can be easily connected into another port without the need for fabric reconfiguration. A disadvantage with worldwide name zoning is that if an HBA fails in a server, the fabric will need to be reconfigured for the host to reattach to its storage. Worldwide name zoning is always also sometimes called soft zoning. Port zoning groups particular ports on a switch together, or a number of switches, allowing any device connected to those ports to communicate with each other. An advantage of port zoning is that you don't need to reconfigure a zone when an HBA is changed. A disadvantage of that is any device can be attached into the zone and can communicate with any other device in the zone. My opinion is that neither is particularly superior to the other. So what I generally find is that the type of zoning used is generally determined by what a particular consultant or organisation has done or is used to in the past.
Excellent. Thanks, Steve. The final question is, what do I need to know about fan-in and fan-out?
Okay. Fan-out ratio, this denotes the number of hosts that are connected to a particular port on a storage array. There are many methods that have been used to determine an optimum number of hosts connected to a storage port, but in my experience, there's actually no hard and fast rules to determine an absolute number. My recommendation would always be to assess the throughput of each host you want to connect to a particular port, determine the maximum throughput of that port, and add hosts such that the total throughput is slightly higher than the throughput of that port. It's very important, however, to ensure that you have good utilization statistics available to detect any time periods when the port is heavily utilized and could be causing a bottleneck to your SAN fabric. There's a number of reasons why it's difficult to give a host count as an optimum fan-out ratio. A couple of them are as follows. Differing port speeds. A 4-gig port can obviously handle twice the throughput of a 2-gig port and will allow you to add roughly double the number of hosts. Multipathing as well. If a host has two HBAs, then the traffic will either be aggregated down the two HBAs in an active-active mode, or all the traffic will go down one HBA and nothing down the other HBA if the connection is active-passive. These scenarios will have a big impact on how many hosts you connect to a particular port. In normal operating circumstances, you can connect double the HBAs to a particular port as they will all be doing half the work of the host. This is in a multipathing environment. If, however, there's an issue with the SAN and devices fail over from their active port to their passive port, the remaining ports may be required to carry out twice the standard workload. This can cause slow performance if you oversubscribe storage ports.